mend it, put it together. You could drive right up here to Cherokee and see the same thing. Drive to the center of town and go, man, there's some Indians. You say, what does that got to do with us? And so I think the church is a reservation now. We got a book that we preach out of all the time, but we don't live it. We got messages we hear and words we say and songs we sing, and we don't live it. Healer? Deliverer? Maybe if we get sick, but not for somebody else. Not if we're doing okay. But if you really need sickness and healing and you're going through it, boy, you'll pray for healing. Shield and defense. Why would you need a shield and defense? Is it dangerous to be a Christian? Is it? Is your Christianity dangerous to anybody? Are you threatened? When's the last time you used God as a shield and a defense? Not from your bad attitude. Not because you were rude. Not because you did something dumb. I'm talking about when's the last time you got in trouble that you had to run into God for a refuge and Him become your defense? Golly, y'all might as well leave, man. Get out of here. It's too late. You should have left. The worship was good. Strong tower. My best friend. Have y'all ever had a best friend? You know what best friends do? Let's go back in school when you had a best friend. Me and my best friend, all day. Played together, fought together, rode together, got in trouble together. If he did it, I did it. If he was somewhere, I was there. David and Kevin. Kevin and David. Can't split them up. You and Jesus? You and Jesus? Is that what people say? You and Jesus? Or just you and so-and-so? I hope we've moved on to a point now. I've got a different best friend today, Charlie. Melissa. Me and Melissa. That's my best friend. If you got a wife, or you got a husband, they should be your best friend. If anybody else is holding that spot, they need to get out the way. Move over, move out, get out of my spot. Can't get Kevin without Melissa, and you can't get Melissa without Kevin. That should be the same thing we have with Jesus. If they get you, they should get Jesus. If anybody invites you, they should get Jesus too. People should be still looking at you and going, I don't want them there, because if they show up, they're going to bring Jesus with them. Because you can't have them without Jesus. And I'd rather not be invited. Omnipotent? Y'all know what that means? He's all powerful. Omnipresent means He's everywhere. Some of y'all treat Him like He's not everywhere. He's with you when you're on your phone, on your computer, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, when you're hiding from everybody's eyes that you don't want him to see, when you're taking the things that you are taking, when you are looking at the things that you are looking at, listening to the things that you're listening to, God is still there. Soon coming King. Soon coming King. I know one thing and one thing only. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I've not gotten to a point in my life where I'm not looking for Jesus to come. I'm looking for Him to come even more. I used to say this thing a couple of years ago. I want the Lord to come back But I'm also waiting for him to save some people in my life that I hope he doesn't come back too soon, because I hope they get saved first. I'm sorry, I don't do that anymore. When I look out into this world, I say, God, come. Come now. Because I know you're full of grace and you're full of mercy and you've given opportunity. God, I'm ready for you to come back now. And if you do, I will shout all the way in that twinkling of an eye. I will shout like a screaming rocket into the sky. Alpha and Omega, Lord of everything. Can I give y'all the next? Do y'all want to see this? This ain't part of the message. Could you flip over to the next one, Kyle? What is that? It says it three times. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Are we even attempting to live a holy life before God? Or do we want Him, as we come in here, to rubber stamp what we do and be okay with it? I came here almost 7 years ago, and I came kicking and screaming. I was really happy with what I was doing. And I said it. Somebody said, you're going to be the next pastor here. And I said, I don't want to be. I don't want to do it. Some of y'all thought I was joking. I wasn't. But God did. And then I've been here for 7 years. And I've just started to be observant of what's been going on. When I first came here, can y'all believe this? I'm just telling you some straight up facts. I'll get to the Bible, I hope, in a minute. We're going to be in John chapter 10, verse 10. I was going to do a whole thing, but I think it's just going to be 10:10 now. You know what I got to when I came here? I said, man, if they want me, they're getting the real deal, man. And I just preached like I preached to everybody wherever I went. And I said, I don't care if they hire me or they fire me. Somebody actually told me that in a meeting. We hired him, we can fire him. I was like, good, don't even do that. I was okay with that. And you know what y'all did? The ones that are still here on that, you know what y'all did? Unanimous. Hopefully you prayed about it. 100%. That's what I was sitting over there on the other mountain, and I got a text. Brother Jen, 100%. And I've been riding with y'all for 7 years. I went through a pandemic with y'all. I've watched people die that I absolutely love in this church. I've seen people go through hell in this church. I've seen people lose loved ones, and I thought, man, that might be the end of them. And they're back here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, and they're walking through it. I went through some divorces. I went through some disagreements. And I hate to say this, man, it's starting to rub me the wrong way. I've been through a lot of people that's quit. It's probably the biggest fruit of my ministry here. It's quitting. Sad. But I'm a realist. I don't like looking at phony stuff. I hate to see people go. I'm sitting here at the end of that and I'm thinking, man, could I ever be real? I got to a place in this ministry here that I started worrying about what some of y'all thought about what I'm doing up here. You know what? When I first came here, I didn't care what any of y'all thought about what I preached. And somewhere along the line, I said, man, that might ruffle a feather right there. Man, I kind of know what's going on right there. That might be hard to hear. Well, today is a new day. And some of y'all just need to hear the truth. And I do too. That's truth for me. I've turned over a new leaf with Jesus. I told them whether they like me or they hate me, I'm just going to preach what you give me. And if they run me off, praise God, I'll just pray that you'll open up another place for me to be. And John 10:10 reads like this, and I wish I could have read you the whole thing that God wanted me to do, but I've been here for a minute. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. If you ever thought any different, that is exactly the plan the devil has for you, and that is exactly where your sin will take you. And I don't care who you are here. I don't care if you're the oldest member or the youngest member. I don't care if you are the most solid Christian in here or you are the lostest person in this room. Your sin will steal, kill, and destroy you. The plan the devil has for every child in this room, every adult in this room, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I wrote some people down here, not names, just people. I'll start like this, a man and a woman. If you are a man or a woman in this room today, we work different. When you get up and go to work every day, you should go to work as a believer in Jesus Christ. When you show up at work, everybody at your workplace should say, that is a believer in Jesus Christ. Then Jesus should become your defense, your shield, your deliverer, your helper. He should be the one protecting you at your job if you get to stay. If you are a business owner, you should run that business like you belong to Jesus Christ. You should not only sit around and go, I think, or we should, or we might, or this, or that, or the other. You should say, we pray, we go by Scripture, and we will do the right thing no matter what. I don't care if it costs us everything, we will do it the right way. Period. We'll tell on ourselves if we're not. If you're a man or a woman, you date different as a believer. You date different. You do it right. You court somebody. Oh, that's an old school word. What in the world did you just say, Kevin? What was that? Relationships are an interview process. You're supposed to communicate, talk, figure out, go through some things, and you know what? You know, you're supposed to find out if you are compatible to be married. Sex is not even an option in that relationship. You're supposed to communicate with each other, and you're supposed to do it in such a way that sin is not even an option in that relationship. I'm going to go ahead and step on all over this one while we're here. You should never, ever, ever date somebody that's married already. Period. For no reason, no circumstance, no situation, period. If they have a husband or they have a wife, they do not belong to you. God will never give them to you. They are off limits, period. We do things different. When we talk to people, we don't say, I think, I feel, I wonder. Here's what we say. I pray, and the Scripture says, and this is the right way we're supposed to do this. As a husband and a wife, goodness gracious, we do a marriage retreat every year here at this church, and it is fun. And we do some really serious, really good classes, and we have a blast. That's one of the things that I look forward to more every year than anything else. But it never fails. Every year we have somebody who goes to that retreat, and guess what? When they come home, they end up separated or in the process of getting a divorce. And it blows my mind. I'm sitting there going, why didn't they apply what they was told? Why didn't they come to the marriage retreat and go, you know what? We're hurting. We're struggling. We're talking about ending it all. But instead, you know what they do? They just go all the way to the end, run it all the way to the end, separate, and then they come tell me every once in a while. Every once in a while they do. They'll come tell me and they'll say, we're thinking about, we've got lawyers, we're separated, and we're getting a divorce. What do you think we should do, Pastor? I just want to fall on the floor and just pray and ask for forgiveness. Then I'm worried about us as a church. Because there's like 15 other couples that went on that marriage retreat. They hear that situation, and then all of a sudden they start taking sides and saying, well, he said this, or she done that, or they did this, or they did that. When did we get on our faces before God? Why did we get together of a group and go and talk to those people and say, if you need us, we are here? It's amazing. We'll talk, but we won't talk to Jesus. We'll have another marriage retreat this year. We'll just make another space for somebody else, but we won't let it become a ministry. I left one out on the man and husband. While I'm here, might as well just do the whole thing. As men and women, we attend church differently. We attend. And when I mean we attend, at least two or three times a month, you need to have yourself in this sanctuary hearing a word and worshiping corporately with everybody else. Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday. Don't find a reason to be outside of the church. Don't find a reason to serve here without being a part here. Because you know what? We're going to find out one day that the kids wanted to see mom and daddy love Jesus. But you know what? We spent so much time hiding from the real thing we're doing here. And you know what? They're going to be lost and undone and out there in the world. And they're going to say, well, mom and dad, they went to church, but they never were a part of the church. They did this thing over there and this thing over there and that thing over there. They were always at the church. They were doing stuff in the church, but they were never a part of Jesus Christ. I thank God. We have people serving in different capacities here. I do. But not to the point where it becomes detrimental and your whole life's falling apart and you ain't hearing from God. Mothers and fathers, when's the last time your children, they know where you get your hair done, they know what job you do, they know what hobby you do, and they love it. Dad likes his Jeep. He likes his Jeep parts. We know where we're going to go riding this week. We know what we're going to do. I'm hitting me first, if y'all didn't know. Oh, he likes to do this, and he likes to do that, and that's his part. When's the last time he's seen you pray out loud to God? When's the last time he's seen where this is where, that's where Dad works on his Jeep. That's where Dad goes and rides. Right over there is where Dad prays. That's where Dad reads his Bible. That's where I see God, he get before God and pray. He uses that Jeep just as important to get to hold of people as he does just for himself. Side by sides, hunting, fishing, work. I did this not long ago. I was sitting over in that gym and I watched two boys, two little boys. I ain't going to tell you who they are. Y'all could probably guess. They are like best friends. You know what they did? They ran around that gym about 100 laps. You know what they were doing? As the whole time they were pretending like they were racing. You know what they did? They got in two seats beside each other up there in those on the seats, and they were sitting there pretending. You know what they were doing? They were pretending they were in their race cars. They were. You know why? Because they seen their daddy's race. One of these days they're going to need Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if they would be like this? Okay, I see daddy loves that. I see daddy likes that. But I also see daddy read his word. I see daddy pray, and I hear daddy quoting scripture too. Daddy loves Jesus, and daddy won't quit on Jesus. I'm going to be done with the fathers and the mothers and the husbands and the wives and the man and the women for a little while. The college age kids. You're 18. 28 years old. You are the next generation. Y'all are coming. I've been hearing this my whole life. Those are the people who's going to take the church from us. Those are the people we're going to hand down the church. You were raised from the smallest group here. You went to the youth program. You went to the teen program. And you know what? It's your age. You're at college age now. And guess what? We can't find you with a flashlight and a search warrant. You say, well, brother, you mad because they ain't at church? No, I'm not mad that you're not at church. I'm just mad that you're not somewhere serving God with all that we sowed into you and put into you. Praise God, you should be somewhere in ministry, loving on people, telling them about Jesus, and doing it. We'd love for you to be here. We got more work for you to do here. There is a generation of girls and boys that are going to high school who would love to see a 19, 20, or 25-year-old girl or man, boy, whatever, live for Jesus. It's time to get off the cotton candy and get on the meat. It's time to show up at church and pray and worship and love Jesus and love kids. There are tons of kids over here who just need an adult, a kid that they've seen make it, sit down beside them and say, I'll pray for you. I will. The same scriptures you're learning in class, I learned them too, and this is how I've applied them. There's going to be a lot of people from our church who come here for all the wrong reasons. But you had a ministry in front of you the whole time. We talk like the world. We walk like the world. We date like the world. We drink like the world. We smoke like the world. We do everything the world does, but somehow God's for us. We need a revival. We need a revival of 18-year-olds who know everything, but their hearts not towards God. Our children. I hope. I'm praying right now that we get some radical kids coming. I'm talking about a radical kid who's in middle school right now or about to go into high school who just says, you know what? I don't care if granddaddy does it, grandmama does it, dad or mom will do it, or nobody in my class will do it, but I'm going to love people like Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus, and I'm going to be on fire for God. I would love for somebody to start rising up, just rising up out of the midst of our youth program who would just set us on fire. Who would just say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of us being just like all the other kids at school. We make fun of each other. We criticize each other. The weak person or the different person that walks into our youth program, our adult teachers watch kids be picked on, put down, ridiculed, and we sit back and idly set aside. And guess what? All the other kids do that, but praise God, we are supposed to be Christians. We are supposed to be a church. Somebody in that youth group should say, this is where the weak and the broken can come and get help. If we are going to be just like other kids, we don't need to be here. Real classes need to take place. Real prayers need to be prayed. We're about to kick off into a WANA program. We've got a lot of adults that are going to be over there watching kids come in and out. There are going to be hungry kids, abused kids, unsaved kids, lost kids. I'm going to tell you right now, you know what you should do? If you're going to work in that program over there, you should say, God, this year, I am going to win one of these kids to the Lord. I am going to make it my ministry, my goal. If I'm feeding kids, I'm going to find one that I can give them Jesus. If I'm running games, I'm going to find one kid that I'm going to make the MVP this year because he's going to get Jesus or she is. Some teacher in here needs to say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of going through the motions, getting my lesson 5 minutes before class from what Awana says. Praise God, I wish you'd get a hold of God and go, you know what? Tonight, these kids are going to get Jesus. And I'm going to let my heart bust open for them, and I'm going to let God bust their hearts open for them. Amen? Some of y'all are sitting here going, what are you talking about? It's time we have revival at Flat Top Church, and I'm not talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking about if we draw a circle around ourselves and we say this, from now on, we are going to be radical Christians. We're going to be believers who pray. We're going to be believers who answer by Scripture. We are going to be believers who live like this Bible says. We are going to see what God can do with our feeble efforts. It's high time. If you believe that this generation coming is going to see things and hear things that we never thought was possible. There are things being said in schools, in colleges, and curriculums that are saying things that are absolutely wrong and impossible, and they are said like they are truth. Your kids are going to walk into that. Parents, you better act like it. Adults, you better act like it. Senior adults in this thing, you're sitting here tonight and you're scot-free. You're like, man, that's all for them. They all do need to get right. You know what we need? We need the generation that went before us. If you can't do anything else but get on your face before God, stop worrying about the finances. Stop worrying about what's going on in the church. Stop worrying about if you've got a place to be here or not. If you can sing or you can dance or you can preach or you can say, praise God, get on your face before God and say, I'll pray for that next generation to come up. I'll pray for revival. You can cheer somebody on. Praise God. It's time, church, that we stop living on the reservation of Christianity. Christianity is not safe, and it's not easy. But the further you get out with God, the more you're going to see the hand of God work. I'm stopping from now on. If you come for me, if you come to me for answers, I'm not going to say, this is what I think you should do, or I believe you could do this. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, you better get on your face before God. And here's some scriptures that can help you. But praise God, I don't know what's going on with you. I'm going to tell you what God would tell you. This is exactly what I would do if I were you. If your marriage is falling apart, if your home is falling apart, if your life's falling apart, if your mom's falling apart, if your dad's falling apart, if your friends are falling apart, if you are falling apart, fall on Jesus. Fall on Him. Before He falls on you and crushes you, fall on Him and say, God, help me. And then when He does help you, you stand up and you tell everybody in your circle, God done this, and I'm going to stand up for Jesus. I don't care if my light blinds you, hurts you, offends you, and runs you off. Because I would rather be with Jesus than to be in my sin or this mess. Let's all stand as they come get a song. And if we need a song this morning, then God help us. Every mother, every father, every kid, every person should be on this altar. God help us. God. God.